Okay, thank you, Benji, for leading us in worship this morning. Okay, guys, what we're going to do, there's roughly about 70 or 80 of us in here. So what we're going to do is we're going to split into 12 groups of no more than 5, 6, 7 people, okay? We can use pretty much the whole room. What I would love for you to do is just grab your chairs and form circles. If you need to break up the chairs is great, and use the whole room. And then what we're going to do is I'm going to give the groups, like group one and group two are going to do chapter one, group three and group four are going to do chapter two, and so on right through to chapter six. So you're only going to look at one chapter, and really we're going to lead you through the process of what it looks like to study your Bible. You can do this in your own quiet time if you're looking for a way to, how do I understand what I'm reading, how can I draw things out. So we're going to take you through a three-step process, and what we're going to do is we're going to explain, and then we're going to have you guys discuss, and then we would love for them to hear back. We're going to go around and have you guys talk back to us. So within that, we're going to want somebody that's going to be able to write down in the group, whether that's on your phone or a piece of paper or whatever, and then have someone who's going to speak into the mic on behalf of your group. Sound good? Anybody, any burning questions? They want to raise their hand and ask any questions? All right. You've got roughly 5 minutes. If there's a group of 15 people, we'll split it up. So try and get 5 or 6 people. The smaller the group, the better. 12 groups, 5 minutes. Go for it.
There we go. Yeah, there we go. Okay. We want this to be really informal. We want this to be interactive. We want you guys to engage with each other. I think I asked for 12 groups, and from my counting, we have 13, maybe. I'm not sure. Hands up if you've... So this is group one. You're going to be doing chapter one. Group two is going to be doing chapter one. So you two are Ephesians 1. Group three, down the back, you're going to be doing Ephesians 2. Okay. Is this a group here? Is this a group at the back? Yep. You're also going to be doing Ephesians 2? Oh, they're a group as well. Okay. Now we have 14 groups. Okay. Okay. Pause. These three groups are going to do Ephesians 1. Okay. You three are going to do Ephesians 1. You guys at the back are going to do Ephesians 2. This group here. Nope. Behind. Yep. Ephesians 2. This group. Kat's group. David's group. Ephesians 2. This group, Ephesians 3, okay. Is this a group? Okay, Ephesians 4. This group here, Ephesians 4. Is this a group? Are you guys a group at the back? Yep, okay. Can you all, this group here, okay, group at the back, you do Ephesians 5. Rachel's group, Ephesians 5. And then these two groups, Ephesians 6. Okay, hopefully I've calculated that right. Hands up, who's doing Ephesians 1? Okay, three groups. Hands up, who's doing Ephesians 2? Yeah, okay, this is looking good. Ephesians 3? Ephesians 4? Ephesians 5? Ephesians 6? Yes, okay, we got it. Okay, that's great. I think we've roughly worked out. Okay, guys, here's basically what we are going to do. If you're going to take notes, if you want to take headings, when you open God's Word and you're reading through a book or a chapter, you might get lost sometimes, and you might just read it and think, I'm just doing this to do my daily reading, and I don't know how to get anything out of it. We're going to give you a three-step process that you can apply to any portion of God's Word. And the blessing of doing it in this setting is that you get to hear from other people what the things that they're seeing in the text and the things that they're coming up with. So it's important that you try and do your own work. I don't want you to overthink this morning. We are filled with so many great resources in our world. Maybe you've got a MacArthur Study Bible, which is excellent. Maybe you have an ESV Study Bible. Maybe when you're looking up stuff, you go on to gotquestions.com. You go on to GTY. All of that those are amazing tools by God's common grace that has been given to us. But sometimes we can use those as crutches, and the purpose of this morning is to show you how much you can glean from just studying the Bible yourself and studying the Bible with your peers, to remove that crutch and realize that the text of the Bible is something that God has given us to understand, and he gives us his Spirit who enables us to do that. This morning we're going to look at the book of Ephesians. On a Sunday morning we've been in the book of Acts, and we've been thinking all about the church. And the book of Ephesians is another incredible epistle that focuses in on the local church. Basically, the book of Ephesians divides straight down the middle. Ephesians 1 through 3 is primarily theology and doctrine, and then 4, 5, and 6 are the practical outworking. And it's a book that shows us that our theology informs our practice. That's what the book of Ephesians is. It's written to a church in Asia Minor. The Apostle Paul is the writer, and he writes this letter, and he writes it with no big issue. There's issues in the church in Corinth, there's issues in the church in Galatia, but in Ephesians there doesn't appear to be an issue that he's specifically addressing. And so it's a great letter for us, a compact letter that gives us all of our core theology, and then it shows us how to live as a Christian. So here's what we're going to do. The first step in studying a passage is observe. So that's your first heading. And what does that mean? Well, very simply, when you want to understand the meaning of a text, the best thing you can do is start reading it. And read it, reread it, and read it with a curious mind. And the purpose of this stage is to ask questions about the text. So don't just read it, but read it, and you're not looking in this particular stage to get answers. Okay, this stage, you're not looking for answers. Keep this high level. But in your group, I want you to begin to ask questions. And as you read the text together, I want you to look for things like repetition, or key phrases, or calls to action. Or if you're doing chapter 1, look at character names. So Paul and other people who are in the beginning of it. I want you to look at words that move the passage along. So basically in this stage, all you're doing is observing what's on the page. Now here's your task as a group. I want you to come up with 15 questions of your chapter. Okay? You're like, that is a lot. That's a lot if you overthink it. I just want you to ask really simple question. You're not trying to answer them, but this is how you begin to study the Bible, because as you move on to the next stage, which is interpret, so observe and then interpret, we'll come to that in a moment, you're going to start to answer some of those questions. So in your group, I'm going to give you 10 minutes, and you're going to, as a group, read the passage together and then just start writing down questions that you would want answered, whether it's the meaning of a word, whether it's where it was written, whether it, just ask good questions of the text. Does everybody understand? Has anybody in the groups got a question at this stage that they would like answered about what we're about to do? Benji?
I wants to ask questions that are already answered right there.
Can do. What I don't want you to do is answer the questions, okay? I just want you to be curious of the text. Ask good questions. Who wrote this? Who wrote this epistle would be like a good question for chapter 1. Where is Paul? Why did Paul write it? Why did Paul bring up the issue of election? Chapter 6, is the armor of God real? Like, is it like, has Paul got a real armor in mind? Questions like that, just, you don't need to answer them, but just give just lots of questions. Like, what are you thinking of as you read this text? What's popping into your mind that's got you curious that you would like to work through and answer? Everybody good? Everybody understand? Clear as mud? Yeah? All right, you've got 10 minutes, and then we'll reconvene. And remember, then we're going to run the mic, and what we'll do at the in this section is we'll maybe hear like 2 or 3 questions from your group that you've asked, but we would love for you guys to come up with like 15 questions. Okay, you've 10 minutes. Let's go. Okay, guys, let's wrap it up. So this first section is called observe, and when we come to God's Word and we open God's Word and we're looking to study it, whether in a group setting or in our own quiet time, first thing you want to do is just simply observe, what is the text saying? And I'm encouraging you to be a curious reader of God's word. So as you read, begin to ask questions. Huh? Why is that there? Why has Paul written it that way? Why has he used that word? So on and so forth. So I'm curious this morning to hear from you guys some of the questions. We're just going to do maybe two or three questions from your chapter. So if we've got a mic runner for this side. Joe's going to do this side. Corey's going to do that side. Okay. Joe, if you want to come up to this first group. Curious, this group, these three groups have had chapter one. So if the other group asks the question that you've asked, pick another one. So I would just love to hear, and this would be interesting to hear. And I want the rest of the guys to listen, because we're learning the whole book of Ephesians together. So maybe when you come back to study Ephesians, here are some questions that you can ask of the text. Give me some questions that you have asked of chapter one. Oh, we got sound? Yep, we got sound now. Oh, there we go.
Okay, there we go.
Okay, guys, listen up.
All right, so we had what makes Paul an apostle.
Good.
What exactly is like predestination, which is like in verse 5.
Yep.
And then what makes Paul want to give God blessing?
Great. Those are really good questions. You haven't sought the answer to them yet, but like, he calls himself an apostle. What made an apostle? What on earth is this word predestination? That's something we can write down and maybe look up later. Why does he want to give glory to God? Great. This group, Tim's group.
So for one of our questions, we asked from verse 11 through 14, what exactly is the inheritance that he's asking for?
Yep, good.
And then another one we asked is, how are we holy and blameless?
Yep, good. Okay, great. So you're asking more theological questions. What is this inheritance that he's asked, that he's talking about? And then what does exactly mean that we're holy and blameless? We're getting to see, guys, these are the kind of questions. These are really, really good questions to be asking. Okay, third group, Joe. And then we're going to come to Benji's group. No, where's chapter two? Okay, chapter two is down there. Okay.
We had, what is the fullness of time?
Good.
Who told Paul about the faithfulness of the Ephesians? And what does it mean to be sealed by the Holy Spirit?
Excellent. So those are three really great questions. You've sort of a bit of theology. You've got word study. I love that question. Who told Paul about the faithfulness of the Ephesians? Because what that question does, and this is a really good question, guys. It's a good teaching moment for you guys, is no book in the Bible, no letter is written in isolation. The story or the book of Acts is kind of the backdrop to all the epistles. What comes out of them. But I love that question because you're asking, well, Ephesians is a historical letter. It's not just something that dropped from heaven, but it was written in actual time. And so we got to remember that there was an actual point in history. There was a real church in Ephesus, and somebody gave a report about that church. And so that's a really good question because you're beginning to ask, how does the passage that I'm reading fit with the rest of the flow of thought of Scripture? Okay. Ephesians chapter 2, where do we begin? Yep, we're going to begin here, okay?
We have...
Oh, hang on. We good? There we go, okay.
In verse 1, it begins with "and you," and the question is, what does the "you" refer to, or who does the "you" refer to?
Good.
In verse 3, if we are no longer living in the passions of our flesh, then why do we still sin? And then in verse 15, it talks about two men becoming one. Who are they and what does it mean by that?
Excellent. So that's really good. You're beginning to ask about the content of the chapter, the you, who's the audience in view. I think we're going backwards. Okay. Ephesians 2. Who else we got Ephesians 2? Yeah. Oh, they've got.
Okay. Yeah, we had, why does he switch between you and we in verse 2 and 3?
Excellent.
What is the law of commandments he's talking about? And then what does it mean to be built together into a dwelling place for God?
Excellent. Good. That's really good. Again, you're asking questions. You're noticing what I'm loving in all of these questions is you guys aren't doing a superficial reading, but you're actually getting into every word matters so much so that switching from you to we. That's really great. Okay, next group for Ephesians 2.
Okay, our first question is, how were the churches living and what were their transgressions specifically? And then in verses 14 and 15, why did they make the distinction between two groups and then decide to remove that division between them?
Excellent. Again, a really good, you're getting into the bigger narrative of Scripture, like what's going on, who are these two groups, Jew and Gentile, why is that important? Okay, Ephesians 3, Ephesians 3 is up here. Annalie is dying to give her answer, so she looks so excited. I'm going to make her the spokesperson of this group, even if she's not, so because she was so excited.
Okay. We asked one, sorry, that was loud. Verse 13 in chapter 3, we said, what does it mean that Paul's afflictions are the church's glory?
Oh, good.
And verse 19, we asked, what does it mean to be filled up to all the fullness of God?
Good. Excellent. It's really good.
Thanks.
Again, you're asking interpretive questions. What do these particular terms mean? Okay, Ephesians 3. Who else got Ephesians 3? Yep, okay.
All right, I have, what is the mystery that has been revealed to the prophets that Paul is referring to in verse 9? And then I also have, what is the revelation Paul is talking about in verse 3?
Okay, great, excellent. Again, you're getting into the nuances of the word mystery, and I love that you guys have picked that up because that's a really key word in the book of Ephesians, mysterion. Who else is in Ephesians 3? Are we only two groups in Ephesians 3? Okay, Ephesians 4, who all's in Ephesians 4? Okay, Corey, yep, go for it.
So for us, we decided to ask, what does it mean that grace was given to each one according to the measure of Christ's gift? And what does it mean to measure the stature of the fullness of Christ?
Good, it's excellent. Another group 4, or chapter 4.
Our question is about verse 27, about how often do we give the devil a foothold, and how do we prevent ourselves and hold ourselves accountable before giving the devil a foothold in our lives, and how do we get rid of this foothold?
Okay, so it's interesting that those are really good questions. I think what you guys have done, and there's nothing wrong with this, just a different approach, is you've gone right the application. So your questions are less about the nuances of the text and more about, well, what does this look like in my life? And that's really good. That's good to do that. What I want to do is encourage you guys to make sure we don't go there right away, that we make sure that we root ourselves in the history of the text, what the text is saying. But I love that, because that's that immediately as we read, we're thinking, well, I don't want this to be me. So I like what you've done. I think we just all want to make sure that we don't go there right away, that we take our time to do the work of asking the questions of the text, and we're going to talk a little bit about that in a second. Good job. Okay, we done with Ephesians 4? Chapter 4. Okay, chapter 5? Oh, one more 4. Okay. Oh, we got a spokesperson. There we go.
In verse 1, why does Paul call himself a prisoner rather than something like a slave?
Good.
And what does falsehood mean in verse 15?
Excellent. Really good questions. Really good observations. These are good if you're writing these down. These are really, really good questions. Really getting into the details of the text. Okay, let's go to Ephesians 5. Where's our group? Oh, back, very back, Joe or Corey, very back corner. Who else is Ephesians 5? Rachel's group, Joe behind you. No, Corey can do those. Oh, okay. We got it.
Yeah, so it talks about...
Okay, go for it.
Yeah, so it talks about wives submitting to husbands in the verse, and our question is, like, what does that like look like in a biblical sense, submissiveness in a marriage?
Good. Good, that's really good.
And then I was going to ask, so is the fruit of the light the same as the fruit of the Spirit?
Sorry, give me that again.
Is the fruit of the light the same as the fruit of the Spirit? Is it like the same application?
Give us a verse for that.
Verse 9.
Verse 9. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. That's a really good question. That's a great question. I love that because, again, like one of these other groups, you're not reading the passage in isolation, but you're connecting it to the whole of Scripture, and that's really good. I love that you've done that. We got one more in that group? Okay.
I was just going to say, in verse 4, how do we deal with the temptations here? And this a second question where it says, instead, let there be thanksgiving. How do we also give thanks while refusing temptation?
Great. That's good. Okay. Love it. Are we done with, okay, chapter 5 again here, Rachel's group?
Leah asked in verse 1, it said, therefore be imitators of God. What does that look like? How can we be imitators of God? And then we were wondering what the state of this church looked like.
Okay.
What were the people's hearts? And then we asked practically, are we like those people? Is there hidden sin in our lives? And is this church similar to something that we have in our church too?
Okay, good. Excellent. Okay, coming to Ephesians 6. Who's our Ephesians 6 groups? Okay, Corey, start over there with you. Yep.
Okay, so this is part of the first question. So why does each armor of God pertain to each virtue, and what is the significance of each piece of clothing? This is referencing verse 10. And the next one is, what does it mean to render good service to the Lord versus man, which is verse 6 through 7. And the last one is, what can we take away from the slave-master relationship? Because we don't have slaves and masters like that in modern time, which is referencing verse 5 and 9.
Good. Okay, so you went straight to the armor. What does the armor look like? What are these? How do these things work? Okay, the last group, group 6, chapter 6.
One of the questions we had was, what is the evil day mentioned in verse 13?
Good.
And then what is incorruptible love in verse 24?
Excellent. Really, really good. So you see there, guys, what we have done is we're not overthinking this whole thing. This is how we begin to study our Bibles. And I haven't answered any of those questions for you. And I'm not going to. Those are for your own study. But what we're teaching you to do is slow down. Slow down and begin to ask good questions of the Bible. And I want to encourage you guys in something about slow reading of your Bible. Bible plans, Bible reading plans are great. And we sometimes, for different people, they work in different ways, but you maybe want to read the Bible every day for a year, and you get through from Genesis to Revelation. That's great. And what I want to say is, don't become enslaved to those Bible plans that you feel like you have to read your whole Bible in a year. I want to encourage you, what if you read the whole book of Ephesians or multiple times in a year? If you picked the book of Ephesians was your study. And what I'm saying by that, and you may not be able to eke it out over a full year, but what I'm trying to encourage you to do is by slowing down and looking at it verse by verse, word by word, and really immersing yourself, that's how we begin to see these details in the text that you have begun to ask questions about. Like, what does it mean to be an apostle? What is predestination? How does this tie into Acts chapter, whatever? Instead of just going, right, well, today I've got to read three chapters of Genesis, three chapters of the Psalms, three chapters of Isaiah, then I've got to do an epistle, and then I'm done, and then I've got to get on with my day. That's great, and if that works for you, that's awesome. But what I want to do is make sure that you guys have a time to slow down and begin to ask good questions of the text and don't just zoom through these different passages. So those are really, really encouraging answer or questions that you guys have asked. So that's observe. That's the first step in studying a passage. Okay, second step we're going to move into as we look at the book of Ephesians is interpret. So it's not enough just to ask questions, but we want to actually find out the answers and the meaning of the passage before us. Remember, this is not just words on a page. This is God's standard for our life, and it has to be interpreted. God has given us the way that he wants us to live, and so we've got to mine out the meaning of the text. Now, here's where you begin to find the answers for some of your questions. In this section, what I want you to do is focus on a key aspect of interpretation. This is so, so, so important when you're in this stage. I want you to remember, what did Paul intend to write? Remember, the epistle to the Ephesians was written by the Apostle Paul to a historical church for a historical reason. So Paul had something in mind when he wrote. And so the main idea when you are in this section, you should not be asking is, what does this text mean to me? Never ever ask that question of God's word. Here's the question that you need to be asking when it comes to interpret. What did this text mean to the audience? What did Paul have in mind when he wrote? What was he saying? And what did this mean to the original? And so you want to have they in mind. Why did the author write at this time for this reason? Simply, what is going on in the text? And the key to trying to answer that question is, what is God saying through the author. Okay? So in this section, keep that in mind. Try to not jump ahead to how does this work out in my life? What is God saying to me? Before we ever get to application, we need to get to interpretation. What is God saying to the church at Ephesus through the Apostle Paul? And what did the church at Ephesus hear? What were they hearing and how would they have understood that? Now, here's what we're going to do for our exercise in how do we come to interpretation. What I want you to do now is divide your chapter into its logical sections, okay? That might be one section, it might be two sections. If you've got an ESV or an LSB, you might see like dark headings. You cannot lift those out of your Bible and just regurgitate them. You're not allowed to do that. But what I do want you to do is I want you as a group to decide, is this one continuous flow of thought? Is there a break where Paul changes to a different subject? How would you break your chapter up? Okay, so the first thing I want you to do is divide your chapter into logical sections and give each section a title. I have an ESV in front of me, so I see the ESV titles. Do not use them. Use them as inspiration. But I want you as a group to come up with your own divisions of your chapter. Then what I want you to do is list four or five major themes that you find in your chapter. Okay? Four or five major, whether that's theological, whatever it is, I want you to. And then maybe, if for a bonus point, if there's something that you're reading, and you as a group can decide which other part of Scripture Paul may be drawing from or connecting to, maybe in the studies of Acts or whatever, throw that in there as well. So here's what you're going to do. Remember, I want you to divide your chapter down, whether it's in one division, two division, give that division a title which summarizes the content of it, and then come up with four or five themes of your chapter. Does that make sense? Does everybody understand what we're doing? Okay, so we've asked our questions. We just park those for now. Now we're getting into what does this text mean? Not to me, but why was it written? Why was it given to this audience? What did it mean to the Ephesians? Why did Paul write it? Okay? Okay, have I got my mic runners ready to go? Going to start with chapter 1. Before we do that, I just want to give you an interruption. We have a live scenes from the UCLA retreat. Live scenes from the UCLA retreat. They wanted me to show this to you, that they are joining us with Pastor Isai. So they are meeting this morning. I don't know what their session. Oh, they're hard to form biblical convictions. So I think it's sweet to know that they're meeting while we're meeting. It's encouragement that there is more to Crossroads. There's a bigger group, and UCLA are meeting this morning. So I know that Isai will do a fantastic job in leading him through how to form biblical convictions over this weekend. And we look forward to welcoming UCLA and the rest of the Bible studies back next week. Okay, we can ditch Isai off the screen and the UCLA guys. And okay, Ephesians chapter 1, give me your titles for how you divide the chapter up, and then give me a couple of themes.
Okay, so verse 1 through 2 is greetings. Verse 3 through 14 is going to be praise and thanks to God. Verse 15 and through 23 is prayer to God.
Excellent. That's great. Love it. 3 points, that's biblical and Baptist, so that's going to go well. Okay, this group, again, chapter 1, how did you divide it?
So we divided it into two parts. We said verses 1 through 14 were heavenly gifts from Jesus, and then 15 through 23 is praise to all. And awesome. Then some themes we found were inheritance, salvation, wisdom and knowledge, and then authority.
Great. Fantastic. Good job. Final group of Ephesians chapter 1 at the back.
We divided it up into two. The first one was promise for the saints, and the point was predestination. And then the second was prayer for the saints, and the point was proclamation for God's glory.
I love that. Alliterated. That's a bit of me. I love alliterated. That's good. I love it. 2 points. Good job. Chapter 2, who's got right at the back? Start at the back for chapter 2. How did you divide it up?
We divide it up in five sections. So verse 1 through 3 is about sin and its effects. 4 through 10 is about the spiritual resurrection by God. 11 through 12 is about the separation of Jews and Gentiles. 13 through 16 is about the reconciliation of Jews and Gentiles. And then 17 through 22 is about the household of God.
Love that. Good job. That's really good. Really good work. Next script, Ephesians 2. Yep. Remember to give me some of your themes as well of what you find.
So we split it actually at verse 1 through 19.
Okay.
After the first 18 verses are done, it says, so then you are no longer strangers and sojourners. And we thought that the tone shifted from being the church in Ephesus to the greater church. So that's what we called it, Paul speaking to the greater church. For the themes, we had salvation through grace and unity through faith.
Love it. That's great. Good job. Good job, guys. Okay. Next group of Ephesians 2. Yep.
Ah. All right. We broke it up into two sections, verses 1 through 10, once dead, now alive in Christ. And then verses 11 to 22, two worlds, one family.
I like that.
In both of the sections, the major themes are dealing with who we were and who we are. And so in the first one, it's who we were is dead in our trespasses. Who we are is made alive together in Christ. And then in the second section, who we were is divided by ethnicity and culture without Christ. And then who we are is united with Christ.
That's fantastic. Good job, guys. Really good group. That's really good observations. Is that us done with two? Okay, chapter 3. Up here. Yep, chapter 3. Okay, here. Yep, we got it. We got it right there.
I think Paul was talking about in the first part of Ephesians 3. It's kind of like a biopic of Paul because he's talking about the mystery of God that was revealed to the apostles specifically. And then towards the end, he's talking about the afflictions of the church, like the transgressions and sins that they were indulging in. And then by the end of it, he talks about the riches in heaven that Christians uniquely earn.
Good.
Yeah.
And some is that your themes and your titles all together? Okay, this group. Whoever the spokesperson is, yeah, Ellie.
So our sections were 1 through 6, recipients of mystery, 7 through 13, revelation of mystery, 14 through 19, power and prayer, 20 through 21, purpose and prayer. And then our themes were blessings of being in Christ and union to Christ, Paul's humility, God's power made known through our weakness, and boldness and confidence rooted in Christ.
Excellent. Really good. Great job. Where are we going now? Is that Thumma 3 into 4? Chapter 4? Who's the first group of chapter 4? Yeah, okay.
So we didn't actually change the sections themselves, but we did change the names.
Okay.
The first section, verse 1 through 16, is biblical purpose and unity in Christ. And the second section is living with biblical purpose. And the themes we found were spiritual gifts, only Christ, only Christianity. That's the only way to heaven. Living with biblical purpose and don't give in to sin.
That's great. Good job, guys. Really good. The next script of chapter 4. Where are we going next? Yep, back there. Okay.
So for us, verses 1 through 6, we called it a call to keep the peace because it was focusing mainly on unity. The second section, 7 through 16, we called it the whole body because it was focusing on the spiritual gifts that everyone in the body of Christ was given. The other section from 17 through 24, it was about living in unity as well as what was being given up and the new man that we've become. And then the last section, 25 through 31, was talking about how, 32, was talking about how our convictions would be tested and that we should not be trying to actively go against the Holy Spirit.
That's great. What I love about that group, what you've done, if you look down through, I was following you down through, is you have major breaks at every time Paul uses a transition word of some kind, a therefore in verse 7, a now in verse 17, another therefore in verse 25. So I think that's really good the way you've divided, you've sort of followed the shape of the grammar of the text. And that's if we're looking for a way to try and divide the text up, look for those words, those contrasting words, the therefores, a but, a now, or whatever. And that will often denote a change in thought, not always, but that's a good way if you're looking to divide up a chapter, is look for those transition words. Great, really good job. Another group. Yep, group four, or chapter four.
We had verses 1 through 7, theology of unity, 8 through 16, the gifts that protect us to unity, 17 through 24, the old manners of life, and finally 25 through 32, commands for unity.
Excellent. Really good job, guys. Super. Moving into chapter 5. Yep.
So we said verses 1 through 14 is about like walking in God in the world of sin, being like separate. Then 14 to 21 is about like practical application and being just submission to Christ. And then 22 to the end is about applying that in the context of marriage.
Okay, good. Excellent. Next group, chapter 5.
And we said something similar, that we had the first section, verse 1 to 21, we put embrace the light and resist the dark, and what that looks like. And then we thought that the end, verse 22 to 33, probably tied in with the start of chapter 6, and it's just practical ways for husbands and wives to do what he said before. And that would tie in with husbands and wives, children and parents, masters and bondservants. Yeah, like God being gracious to give us these practical ways within our marriage that we can imitate Christ.
Good. Excellent. Okay. Into chapter 6. Go for it.
Alrighty. So the first section we have for verse 1 through 9 is distinguishing roles of submission and authority. And like a two-part section for the next one is what are we up against, which is verse 10 through 12. And second part is how we fight against it, which is verse 10 through 18. The third section we have is believers' encouragement from the mystery of the gospel, which is verse 19 through 22. And the last being setting your heart above, which is verse 23 to 24.
Good. Excellent. This group, last one.
So we use a bit of 5 because it has to do with the beginning of 6. So we said from verses 5:22 to 6:9, it talks about husbands, wives, children, fathers, bondservants, and masters. So we titled that people groups and instructions for them. And then after that, we have 10 through 19, the armor of God and its purpose. And then 20 and through 24, the conclusion.
Brilliant. Really good. I love that, guys. Again, I want this to be an encouragement to you guys of how you're reading the text. You're seeing the breaks in the text. You're capturing the themes, and that's what you want to do, because you're setting yourself in the church in Ephesus, and you're hearing the text as it's come to that audience, and you're seeing not what does this mean to me, but what is the content here? What is Paul teaching? Why is he teaching it? And you can see the movement, as I said at the start, from theology and the truths of our faith in 1 through 3, and then, you know, you guys that are looking at the structure of 4 through 6, it's all very practical, which follows the flow of the book. That's excellent. Time is beating us. We've only a few minutes left, but the third thing you do, so we have observed the text, we've interpreted the text. The last thing then what we do is we apply the text, because obviously it's not just about interpreting its meaning, but then there is a point where God's word then needs to begin to affect our lives and shape our lives. So after we've observed, we've interpreted them, we have to come away with, well, how is this going to change my life? The whole big thing, when you're doing your reading of God's word, always have the question in mind when you're reading it, so what? So what? What does it matter to me that Paul has written this? I know he wrote it to the Ephesians, but it's relevant for my life. So what? So we want to make connections to our own lives. And sometimes the application is something specific, an imperative that you've got to do. But sometimes it's just simply an observation that you go and worship, that you acknowledge the greatness of God or whatever it is. I want to encourage you in your application, don't do more than the text, but also don't do less than the text. So at the very minimum, there should be worship. You've only got 5 minutes left, okay? So in your group, in 5 minutes, three kind of key things. What should we learn? How should we respond? What does this reveal about God? What should we learn? How should we respond? What does this reveal about God? And then we're going to try in like 1 or 2 minutes at the end, rapid fire, run the mic around the room, an application from your passage. 5 minutes, go. Okay, let's hear from Ephesians chapter 1. I love this because we're going to get 12 applications for the whole book of Ephesians from your guys' study. I love that. So if you're taking notes, writing them down, listen up. Really quickly, Ephesians 1, one application for our lives.
All right. Our application was the more you know about your salvation, the more grateful you could be for it.
Sheesh, that's really good. That's really, really good. Thankfulness. Yep, really good.
We said to encourage each other in firmness in the faith.
Sorry, give me that again.
Encourage each other in firmness in the faith.
I love that. More you know about your salvation, you can encourage one another in that. I love it.
Okay.
Yep, go for it, guys.
Okay, so we were talking about the Holy Spirit's significance in chapter 1 and how through repentance and being gifted the Holy Spirit, we are then freed from the power and penalty of sin to be able to live a more righteous life, even though that might not be perfect.
Yeah.
We're still in a direction or we're not practicing sin. We are walking in a direction towards God, though we may stumble at times.
Love that. Yep, the work of the Spirit in our lives having been sealed and saved. He's the one that empowers us. Okay, chapter 2. Where's our chapter 2 group? Okay, yep.
Because of who God is, he not only brings us to himself, but he also brings us together in unity.
Love that. Unity, great. Chapter 2 again.
So we learn in this chapter that salvation is through faith and it's not from ourselves. Therefore, we should learn to have greater faith, and this teaches us that God is merciful.
Amen. That's awesome. Yep, guys at the back, AV.
So we know that we are saved by grace through faith, so we must praise God and walk in good works.
Love that. Praise God and walk in good works, the definition of the Christian life. Chapter 3.
As he defeated death, and no weapon shall prosper in Christ Jesus.
Amen. Great confidence. Yep. Chapter 3. Who's got it?
How to pray in a God-honoring way and ask great things of God. And we can be filled up with the fullness of God because Christ dwells within us. And we can have a heart of humility and seek to be humble.
Love that. Okay, good. Chapter 4. One application.
I think one application was like, they were saying verse 29, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for building up what is needed so that it will give grace to those who hear. I think that kind of sums up the whole chapter.
Good. Okay. Again, chapter 4.
Our transformation in Christ should lead us to have more kindness to others and more unity within the church.
Awesome. It's great. Is that done in chapter 4? Another one, chapter 4? Yep.
That we need to live with, not with a worldly temporary perspective, but with a biblical eternal perspective.
Awesome. Yep, our perspective and how we live everyday lives. Great. Chapter 5?
And we talked about how generous, kind, and gracious God is as our teacher, that he guides us and gives us clear instruction, and how merciful he is even when it's in our sin. And good. That he is worthy of our imitation.
Good. Excellent. Worthy of our imitation. I like that. Chapter 5.
Yeah, so like through Christ and the Holy Spirit, we can be better sanctified. So I think it's like applies that to if you are in a relationship, which I'm not. None of us are, but you know, just for a future reference, you know, I think it helped a lot.
Okay, good. Is that us done with chapter 5? Chapter 6, go for it.
So the application from this chapter is continue to humble yourself before the Lord by reminding yourself of your new identity purchased in Christ in every aspect of your life. With that, there's nothing we lack because God knows what's truly best for us.
Grit.
And we said that the Lord has given us each roles. And so Ephesians, really it starts in 5, but 5 through 6 highlights those roles. And then we're all soldiers in Christ. So how to gird up as soldiers in Christ.
Love that. That's great. Guys, thank you for engaging this morning. I hope that is helpful. This is a template that you can take and apply whenever you read your Bible. You want to observe the text, read it, ask good questions of it. You want to interpret the text by putting yourself not here in Sun Valley, but in Ephesus or Corinth or whatever, and listen. What was Paul teaching? What does the text mean to the original audience, not to me? Help understand the text, look at the structure of it, and then apply the text. So what? How should I go and live in light of this text? In less than 1 hour, we have done the entire book of Ephesians. And I want to commend you guys. I know you've all got study Bibles, and you've, but as a group, you haven't consulted the website, you haven't gone on the GTY, you haven't used your study Bible notes. You've just talked, and it shows you the power and the just the joy of fellowshipping together around God's Word. Don't neglect those resources. Use them. That's how we grow our knowledge. But what this does show you is that you and your Bible and other godly believers can glean so much from God's Word that's so applicable to our lives. So I hope that's been helpful, and it's been a joy to be with you this morning. Remember, Crossroads is back next week, second hour at 11 a.m., but let me pray, and then you guys are dismissed. Father, we thank you so much for your Word. We thank you for the epistle to the Ephesians. We thank you for the whole truths that are contained within it, the journey from the great doctrines of salvation to the sealing of the Spirit, to the fact that we were dead in our sin but made alive through Christ, the reconciliation between God and the Jew and the Gentile, and then all the practical ways that works out in our lives through our relationships. And Lord, we just pray that the method of studying your Bible, Lord, that that method would go with us, that, Lord, that we would be eager to read more of your Word, to study it and seek to understand it, and then to live it out. Bless these students. May they take this time this morning and even replicate it in their own small groups, and that, Lord, that there would be great fruit born from this group. Bless them in the week that lies ahead. Bless the rest of this group that are on retreats, returning from them. Give them journeying mercies. Bring them back to us again safely, we pray, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Crossroads, you guys are dismissed. Have a great week.